At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody. Andre Cacciatorian, ASN Podcast, alongside Jason Taktagian, coming from Fresno, California. It is Monday, June 30th, the final day of June, Jason, the final day of the first half of 2025. Can you believe half of the year is over?
This year has felt really long, so I can believe it. And honestly, it should have come a little bit longer. This year is, it felt like it's dragged a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I think the days are fleeting. Every day is just passing by very quickly. I can't believe, I mean, it's making me sad because after June 21, the days technically start getting shorter and shorter. So it is the beginning of the summer, but it's also the beginning of like days getting shorter. So in about a month, we're going to start noticing the days getting a little bit shorter, like noticeably. But yes, it's still summer. We got to live in the moment. I'm excited about 4th of July weekend. But until we get there, let's talk about the, you know, we haven't done this in a little bit. So we have a lot to catch up on. And the news of the week wasn't even involving an Armenian athlete directly. It was obviously UFC 317 took place, International Fight Week in Las Vegas. Ilya Topuria dominating Charles Oliveira with an incredible knockout win to take claim of the UFC lightweight championship. And then following the fight, Ilya Topuria called out Paddy Pimblett. I guess he did mention Tarukyan indirectly, saying, oh, there's a guy whose back is broken and he didn't want to fight. But he really was targeting Pimblett mostly. And then Pimblett came into the octagon. They did a square off. They shoved each other. Craziness happened. Armand Tsarukyan quickly took to Twitter or to X and said that it should have never been Charles. And he was unhappy about the fact that Pimblett was the one that was called out. Dana White spoke about it after the fight. He said, quote, "It's not about getting back into good graces with Armand. It's about the guy had an opportunity to fight for a title and didn't make weight. You couldn't F up anything worse than that. Now that he's not fighting for the title, he was here as a backup fighter and he made weight. It's definitely a step in the right direction." Armand was the backup fighter for Topuria versus Oliveira, made weight. So many things happening on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday involving Armand Tsarukyan, and he didn't even fight. What did you think of the fight and with Topuria, and what do you think of what's going to happen next?
You know, we were chatting about it before we even started this podcast, just how dominant Topuria looks, and that was really on display here. I know there was a lot of hype behind Charles Oliveira coming back. Oh, is Topuria going to be able to, hold his own in a new division? People had questions, but Topuria was always confident, like he always is. And, it felt like a surprise, but it also, like in hindsight, doesn't feel like a surprise because of all the knockouts and all the wins that he's had recently. And just adding Charles Oliveira, first round knockout, it was just sensational. And then obviously him standing in the ring with those two belts on his shoulders just makes him look like the next superstar for the UFC.
He surpassed Islam Makhachev in Instagram followers this week. I think he is the biggest star. I think he resonates more to the North American audience than Makhachev does. I think he's a handsome guy. He's better looking than Islam is in my opinion. And I don't know. I think he's part Spanish. He grew up in Spain. He's more Western.
Well, he has a massive following in Spain. I mean, they're talking about him.
My point is, these Western European fighters are going to resonate more with North American fans than the guys from Dagestan. And that's just you know, I don't think it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just what it is. Historically, Conor McGregor was bigger than Khabib Nurmagomedov, and you know, John Jones was, you know, bigger than, you know, name a European fighter, an Eastern European fighter. So yeah. I think but you know, he's obviously, I think, more popular in Islam, and that Instagram followers show that. But I think he's also the number one pound to pound guy, right? Pound for pound guy right now, based upon the way he beat three separate champions in his last three fights, knocking out Charles in the first round, knocking out Max Holloway. Max Holloway had never been knocked out before in a fight ever. And Topuria just knocked him out very easily. And of course, he knocked out Volkanovski too. Islam has beat Volkanovski twice, but Islam doesn't have two belts.
Right. That's right. I mean, Topuria, yeah, whenever the new update comes, when it comes to the pound for pound rankings, yeah, it would be probably very in tune and in line with what's going on right now for Topuria to be number one pound for pound, which, Andre, correct me if I'm wrong, that would mean that then Islam would be second, Merab would be third.
Correct. That would be correct. Yes. And you know, so we're recording this on Monday, June 30. By the time we upload this, the rankings will probably be out. Yes, that's how it will be. But you know, there's no point in debating it, because again, by the time we upload this, the rankings are going to be out. But I personally believe that it should be Ilya. And what do you think?
I can't argue with you. Right now, Ilya is just the best, right? And he keeps on proving it right now. Yeah, Armand fighting Ilya would be great, right? We're talking about, you know, pay-per-view sales. We're talking about, you know, how many people would go depending on where the fight happens. But just honestly, I would be worried for Armand. I'd be worried for anybody at this point when it comes to Ilya Topuria, because his striking is just bar none.
Absolutely. It's unstoppable right now. It's absolutely unstoppable. And, you know, you talk about who is he going to fight next. Will it be the number one contender, Armand Tsarukyan? Well, we don't know. We don't know that answer yet. Armand still looks like he's in the trash can in Dana White's book. And let's go back to the quote that Dana White said. I just read the quote. This whole time, Armand's been saying that he had a back injury. And Dana White comes out and says that, no, he didn't make weight. So these are two completely different things. You know,
wish the journalist or any journalist kind of followed up with that, right? Because that's new news, breaking it and basically straight up saying it. Because whenever Dana was initially asked about it at 311, he's talking about, oh, the doctors, you know, are the best in the business. Armand calls middle of the night, says he can't do it because of his back. We have to go with what he says. There's a lot of uncertainty when Dana first talks about it. And then now he just kind of slips something that nobody maybe caught in the moment. Any of the, I don't want to say journalists, but more so media members that are over there, nobody really followed up on that. But like you said, that seems to be breaking news. And Armand now, I mean, kind of is on the right track, but we'll see when it comes to who he fights next.
Footage came out today of Drakus Duplessis basically leaking the co-main event of UFC 319. Now, nothing's been official yet, but he said basically in this video, it's going to be a big card. The co-main event is Paddy Pimblett and Justin Gaethje. So if this is true, then Armand is left out again. And right. He is left in the shadows again, and he will probably again try to make weight as the backup for that. Will be the third consecutive numbered card that he does that for, because we're expecting him to do it again next month in New Orleans for Poirier's retirement fight against Max Holloway for the BMF belt. And so, if this is true, if what DDP is saying is true, that the co-main event of UFC 319 in Chicago is Gaethje and Pimblett, then Tsarukyan will be left out in the dust all summer long.
Yeah, now it just becomes a question of, does he fight in 2025, right? And who does it end up being? Because the amount of, you know, pushback that Armand is getting right now, despite the mentions from a guy like Topuria prior to 317, Yeah, it just really seems like he's just being pushed into the shadows,
Right.
and the UFC is just moving on without him. Paddy Pimblett, a guy who was beefing with Darman, should have been maybe that might be the next fight, because Topuria with the belt, Dana says no to that because he doesn't even understand why Pimblett got into the ring in the first place after the fight. But like either Gaethje or Pimblett, that seems to be w the next fight for Arman, because I don't assume he's going to get a title fight next. Dana said he's not going to. But yeah, like you said, what's next for Arman? Well, is he going to fight for the rest of this year?
Jason, I'm going to put it on my tinfoil hat right now. Conspiracy theories are all the craze in politics and sports these days.
Yes.
And I'm sure the comments section will be beautiful for this for when everyone hears this. But Armand Sarukyan was scheduled to fight in January for the UFC lightweight title. He backs away, whether he's misses weight or injured his back, doesn't matter. He didn't fight. Right after that, you ask, right around that time, you asked Dana White, do you think the UFC will come to Armenia one day? And he said, yes, of course. Shortly after that, Armand's already, in on bad terms with Dana White. UFC strikes a deal with Azerbaijan, and the UFC hosts its first event in Baku. I'm wondering now, it's been 6 months. Dana White has been pretty forgiving with other fighters who've done worse things in the past. Why is he still in the doghouse? My conspiracy is maybe Dana White and Azerbaijan, when they made their deal, maybe Azerbaijan people said, hey, keep Dana White, keep Armand Sarukyan away from the octagon for as long as you can. It's going to be part of this deal. I know the comment section will be juicy in this, but it's just a conspiracy theory. I have no evidence of that this is happening, but I've also seen Dana White been much more forgiving for to other fighters like Conor McGregor, who once threw a dolly at a bus and glass shattered and injured other fighters. This guy misses weight or injures his back and he's in the doghouse for it's as if he like committed this heinous crime. Like, give it a rest.
Didn't John Jones like fail drug tests?
John Jones has failed numerous drug tests.
Yeah, look, like there's other fighters who've been injured prior to fights. Khabib is one of them. I mean, shoot. You're right. Look, I understand the conspiracy. I understand where it is. I also understand the role that I play in this conspiracy, and obviously I'm sorry about that, but at the same time, shoot. It really comes down to Edmund Shahbazyan, I think, is the only Armenian fighter that's fought ever since, right?
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
about it.
But I mean, that was
No
just,
Isaac Dolgarian.
yeah. I mean,
No
Caitlin
opportunities for other
Chookagian's.
guys like David Magoyan yet, even though he's still been undefeated and he's
Or,
connected with Armand
hey,
Sarukyan.
there was the other Armenian kid from Washington.
Albert Talavosyan.
Albert Tadavosi mysteriously didn't fight that week. He was supposed to fight that week. What's going on here? I mean, again, those are lower name guys, but hey, maybe Azerbaijan had something to do with this. For an X amount of period, Armand Sarukyan can't fight. We're not going to have Armand Sarukyan lead the card. Because, say, Armand Sarukyan was fighting at UFC 317. What was the week before UFC 317? It was UFC in Baku. You're telling me that Azerbaijan would have wanted every single promo for UFC 317 to feature an Armenian man? You know what I mean? Every
Right, with an
commercial
Armenian
break
last
during
name.
UFC Baku would have been check out UFC 317 next week, where Armand Sarukyan goes for the UFC lightweight belt. I don't think Azerbaijan officials would have wanted that. I know it's crazy,
Look,
but it's
I
really
was
not
gonna
that
say your
crazy.
tinfoil hat is definitely on and snug. But at the same time, I can understand how a lot of people can kind of buy that and be on the behind of that, because it does fall in line with some credence, I would say, because yeah, we're dealing with a government in Azerbaijan that literally hates Armenians. I mean, what other way can we say it? We're not a political podcast for crying out loud or anything like that, but we can, there's no other way to beat around the bush there. And yeah, I mean, I get it. People can make the argument, oh, he's from Georgia, he's more Russian, he's fought in Russia like twice already.
His name is Armenian,
But
and
his
all
name is Armenian,
told.
and he's arguably the hottest thing in the UFC. And the truth is, I hate to say it, but his last fight was a win against Charles Oliveira that was supposed to make him the number one contender. And yeah, he got injured, but he should have a path to get to that opportunity again. I think this is unfair. And to be quite honest, forget about the just being the Armenian card. Like, kind of going back to what you were saying, if Armand was American, I think this would have been a completely different situation. He would have been treated differently.
I agree with you. Again, there's no reason for me to think otherwise. And it all coincides with UFC Baku. It's call me crazy, flood the comment section, tell me I'm a whack job, go ahead. I have no source for this, but it all just makes sense. I know that Azerbaijan officials, organizers would not want the UFC in any promo to mention an Armenian guy's name during that broadcast in Baku.
They have a strong lobby in the US government. Who says they don't have a strong lobby
Because
in
it's really not
sports?
that big of a deal either. It's like, okay,
It's
listen,
not.
UFC is going to be in Baku. Just hold off on this Sarukyan kid until after the event is over because we don't want him in any of the promos. And then Dana said, okay, $20 million or however many million
Bingo.
dollars, deal. I'll keep punishing Arman until the time is right. Anyway, I guess we'll find out if usually Dana White says Tuesday's the day we make fights, right? So if
Right.
Armand Sarukyan's magically in one of these cards, then
Yeah, at this point, my hands are like up as far as understanding or even considering, oh, what's next for Armand in the UFC? Like, who's he gonna fight next? Because I don't know. I don't know what to expect at this point.
most look, even if this conspiracy theory, you can think whatever about what you want, like say it's not even true. It's definitely weird that Dana has punished him for as long as he has, as if, again, he committed this heinous crime. But anyway, moving forward, sticking to, with International Fight Week, it's UFC BJJ 1 took place on Wednesday, before UFC 317, as UFC sticks its feet deep into the world of Brazilian jiu-jitsu and another Brazilian jiu-jitsu promotion, investing lots of money in there. And there's an Armenian on the card, Keith Krikorian, incredible performance, a lot of hype around this kid in the jiu-jitsu scene. I actually interviewed him following his victory at UFC BJJ 1. You can catch that interview on our YouTube page, YouTube channel. Really good kid. Jason, San Diego kid, Armenian, very proud of his heritage. And get this, his uncle fought in the first Artsakh war. Really, really cool story about that. And you will have to watch the interview with him to find out more about that. But really, really
Wow.
cool background. And I'm guessing the UFC is going to want to have this guy be a part of future cards, and the UFC did announce three more cards for the rest of 2025 for UFC BJJ. So we'll definitely be seeing Krikorian there.
That's for sure. And this is just kind of adding to the Armenian fighting legacy that not just is attached to the UFC, but is attached to most, if not all, facets of combat sports. How cool is that the first promotion of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu put on by UFC, is featuring an Armenian who had a really dominant win and is most likely going to be featured in those upcoming cards, at least one more of them for this year, I would say.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable, and he was very proud about it, and he loves the support he gets from the Armenian community, and it's just another athlete to look out for, and great timing for him that he's always been the jiu-jitsu guy, he said, and it's just the timing that now the UFC's invested millions of dollars into this sport, and he's kind of one of the stars of it, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
There was like a whole reality show leading up to the first card, and it was kind of like the Ultimate Fighter, except it was for jiu-jitsu. Krikorian was on that as well. And he was like the number one seed, had a tough loss in that, but bounced back with a big win in his first fight here. So we'll keep an eye on him the rest of the summer and beyond. But, you know, let's not go overseas to jolly England, where the Wimbledon kicked off on Monday today. They were recording. Time to look at what our guys
to hope for the best, I guess.
Yeah, with Goran Khachanov and Alina Avanesyan. Two people who have kind of been struggling in these big tournaments lately.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I say. Like, you kind of hope for the best at this point. So far, time of recording, Khachanov wins in the first round, and it was in straight sets to Mackenzie McDonald, and it's unranked opponent, so it's kind of one of those wins that you just expect from Khachanov to have. Avanesyan still hasn't played her first round matchup yet, but she is going up against a ranked opponent,
Elena Rybakina.
It's a big opponent. So, you know, especially when it comes to both of these, you know, tennis players, we're hoping somebody can get to at least, you know, round of 16 quarterfinals to make some sort of noise and kind of get the ball rolling and back in the right form. Because, I mean, shoot, it's getting to the point where as more time progresses, we're kind of forgetting what was the last significant, you know, result of these that both of these tennis players have got.
It hasn't been good for Avanesyan since, since last year's French Open, basically, when she went to the round of 16, impressed everybody. In Wimbledon last year, she won her first match, lost in the second round. But then since that first round win in the Wimbledon, she hasn't won a single Grand Slam match. She lost in the first round of the US Open, lost in the first round at Australian Open, and lost in the first round of the French Open this year as well. So not good. And that French Open loss, her opponent was 113th ranked opponent. And she's not obviously was number 40 at the time. That was an embarrassing loss. She lost 6-1, 6-2, not even close. Like that's not good.
Something was up at that point.
At least you can say for Australian Open, her opponent was a number 23 opponent. It was still better than her. Same with US Open. It was number 21 opponent. And even if she loses at Wimbledon, it's the number 11 opponent ranked. It's number 11 opponent. So,
right. That's one takeaway. That's one way to kind of like soften the fall, but it still kind of is in line with what you were saying again, which is, you know, constantly losing in the first round of these major tournaments where you'd hopes that she makes some noise and makes, you know, especially since she recently changed her flag to Armenia, her nationality to Armenia. You want to see her, you know, get some more, you know, big wins underneath that. And right now it just kind of seems like she's just going through a rough patch. And it's a matter of kind of waiting to see what happens with her, right? Like, she's still young, but, you know, whenever you get that many, like, bad losses in a row, you have to start asking the question of, all right, what's actually going on here?
Yeah, you're for sure correct about that. And, you know, again, by the time we post this, she might be eliminated again. But hopefully, you know, she goes on a little bit of a run here. But you're right. We forget that she's only 22 years old. She's still very young and has her whole career ahead of her. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And as for Khachanov, you know, he's had some success in, you know, smaller events, I guess. Went to the semifinals in this German grass tournament where he lost to Bublik. And this was a couple of weeks ago. French Open, lost in the round of 32 to Tommy Paul. But yeah, he's made some runs in smaller tournaments, but it's always like he hasn't won any of them either. And he's, more expectations for Khachanov because he's number 20 in the world. So you want to at least see him win these smaller events, which he hasn't been doing. He did beat Novak Djokovic in an exhibition, for what it's worth, at Wimbledon.
It's an exhibition. Yeah, I don't know, like confetti, like throw confetti up in the air. I don't know.
Australian Open, round of 32 loss. He keeps losing in the round of 32. You would like to see him again, round of 16 or quarterfinals, but We'll keep an eye on that. He's already advanced to the second round at the at Wimbledon. All right, moving forward, Jason, as we having a great show today so far. But you know, we come back stateside where Inter Milan, tough loss in the round of 16 of the Club World Cup against South American club Fluminense. They lost 2-0. Was this Henrik Mkhitaryan's last game ever? Jason, what do you think?
Well, I think he has like a year left on the contract that he can see it out until, what, 2026. So I don't know, man. I think, you know, he's come out and said that he wants to retire with Inter Milan. He's not going for the money. I think the big story here is just Inter Milan were really disappointing this season. They were in the fight for Serie A. They lost it to Napoli in the last day. They lost domestic cups to, you know, their arch rivals, AC Milan. They lost in the worst way fashion in the Champions League final to PSG. And then they get knocked out to a Brazilian team in the Club World Cup. All due respect, but there's more expectation for a team like Inter Milan to not be losing to a team that's basically captained by an old and aging Thiago Silva. I mean, you know, he's a legend, don't get me wrong, but there's a reason why he's playing in Brazil, okay? I don't know, man. It really gets down to the point where, like, is Inter losing its juice? And, you know, if Inter are going to keep Mkhitaryan for this upcoming season, is he going to be starting? Is he going to be on the bench? And what are Inter really going to be doing? Are they going to be competing for titles? Is this the last hurrah of competing for titles for Mkhitaryan? I mean, that's possible if he does indeed just stay with Inter Milan. I think that's probably what's going to end up happening. I think he does have a lot of roots in Italy, and he probably wants to live in Italy. He has a house there. But I don't know, man. I think it's kind of upsetting if you're an Inter fan and if you're also a Mkhitaryan fan, because what, there were like four different chances to win a title here and blanked on all four of them.
Yeah, I mean, even this Club World Cup, of course, they were favored to win that game to Inter Milan against Fluminense. But, you know, these Brazilian clubs and these South American clubs, well, I guess just the Brazilian ones. None of the Argentinian teams advanced to the round of 16, but you had four of the 16 clubs are Brazilian clubs. So, I mean, I just want to give a shout out to all the Brazilian clubs and just the South American leagues. They're legitimate leagues, and you know, they're out for blood. You know, they are sick of being disrespected, and I think they've shown that they're right up there with the European leagues. They don't have the money that these European clubs do, but they sure as hell know how to play, and they sure as hell are thriving in this tournament right now. Maybe they care more than the European clubs. I don't know, but these are big games, and they're playing well.
Yeah, to be fair, we have seen an influx of like these older legends like Thiago Silva's and Alexandros of the world moving to Brazil and kind of joining, you know, forces with these guys, and even guys like Felipe Luiz being a coach for one of these Brazilian teams. I'm blanking if it was Flamengo or not, but yeah, it's great to see more growth in the Brazilian league because it has financially gone through a lot of rough patches. It still is. The Club World Cup is a great representation of that. It always historically has been, but this year specifically, it's been on full display. I think that's also credit to the new format, you know, being 32 teams. And I think it's great. I know Jurgen Klopp, the ex-Liverpool manager, came out saying that the Club World Cup is the worst idea in football history because he's making the argument that players play too many games. I don't know. I think there's a lot worse ideas out there in the world of soccer and football and sports in general. But I like this. I like this. Not if you're an Inter fan, but overall, if you're a soccer and a neutral fan, you love seeing them, you know, win and go through to what is it, the semifinals now?
The quarterfinals. Yeah, Fluminense advances, and they'll probably be playing Man City. You're going to have two matchups between EPL teams and Brazilian teams in the quarterfinals, with Palmeiras playing Chelsea and Fluminense playing Manchester City. As we record this, Man City is leading 1-0 against Al Hilal. I'm assuming they will be advancing. Other matchup, PSG versus Bayern Munich. That's going to be a solid European clash, and then probably going to get a European clash in the other quarterfinal with the winner of Real Madrid and Juventus, and the winner of Borussia Dortmund and Monterrey. I think Dortmund will beat Monterrey. But
yeah, you would assume so at that point. So it'd be guaranteed European quarterfinal.
So that would mean 6 European teams and 2 Brazilian teams, if those are the results. So, Inter eliminated. Henrik goes home. He can get some rest. That's the other thing. I think Inter Milan, they played deep into the Champions League. They went into the final, and then quickly, 2 weeks after that, boom, Club World Cup on the opposite side of the world. I think that they were just gassed at this point. I mean, I think fatigue really did set in. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, that's up to the coaching staff to manage. I mean, you know, I could say that
nobody else had to go through that. You know, I guess
no, nobody else has to go through that other than the champions, right? The
PSG, PSG has to go through that.
Yeah, exactly. PSG had to go through that. They ended up going through that for their League Cup, for the domestic cups, and then for the Champions League.
But they're being got lucky, and they face an MLS team in their round of
16. Well, yeah, no, I mean, any team that was going to face Inter Miami at that point was going to win. I mean, Inter Miami were Swiss cheese at that point. There's even reports that Lionel Messi is looking to leave Inter Miami before the World Cup starts. But yeah, that's neither here nor there at this point. I just think, yeah, I don't know. I think I've said what I've said about the Club World Cup and just about what we've seen so far.
Finally, let's wrap up with Edward Sparcian rumors. We've heard things between all over Europe, basically. You probably have a better understanding of everything that's going on with this than I do. So what's going on, and what do you think is going to happen?
Dude, I think we're just, you know, going through it once again when it comes to these rumors, because the most recent rumors have had him linked to Scottish team Celtic and Premier League team Manchester United. I don't know. I don't know how much weight there is behind both of those rumors, because, you know, we're talking about a guy who was, like, rumored to go to Ajax, who was rumored to, you know, leave the Russian Premier League, and ends up not leaving the Russian Premier League, and then now has won the league title after the Russian Premier League has taken so many hits and has lost so much talent because of the war, that now he's won a league title. He has the silverware underneath his belt. You know, there is incentive for him to actually leave. But I don't know, dude. When it comes to reporting in soccer or football, there is so much uncertainty and there's so many rumors that you need to just literally wait to almost just hear it from the horse's mouth. Nowadays, the horse's mouth is a guy by the name of Fabrizio Romano, and he, you know, I would say is about 90 to 95% accurate about most things, but he does definitely, you know, play into social media engagements, so to say. So it's borderline journalism and media, just content making. But even then, you know, you just got to hope that the teams like Manchester United or Celtic would then announce it and post it on their social medias. And that most of the time is the best way to just officially confirm these sort of things. I would love to see it if it's actually true. But when it comes to actually, you know, fitting in a team like Manchester United, Spurtzian is not going to get much playing time. I mean, he maybe does, but Manchester United have been absolute garbage recently. And I have no problem saying that. They finished almost in the relegation zone last season, and they lost to freaking Tottenham in the Europa League final. Okay, you don't want to join Manchester United right now if you're anybody, not just Edward Spurtzian.
Well,
what are you saying? Oh, I'm just saying, you know, when it comes to Celtic, I'm just going to wrap it up really quick. You know, not a lot of people care about the Scottish League outside of Celtic or Rangers. That's about it. I mean, you're talking about a league that, you know, if you're lucky, you get a Champions League qualification spot. And I don't know. I don't think that's the move for Spurtzian to go to the Scottish League, especially for a kid who I don't think speaks English and would have a very hard time understanding that accent as well. You know, just thinking about those practical things as well.
The old saying in social media goes, well, it's not the old saying, it's my saying. If you don't wait for it to come out of the horse's mouth, then you might just be a horse's ass.
Ah. I like that one.
And with that, the ASM podcast will come to a conclusion for this week. For Jason Taktagian, I am Andre Khachaturian. Happy 4th of July, everybody. God bless America.